Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Benjamin Seschel, or Ben. How are you, mate?
Hello. Hi, Chris. I'm very well, thank you. I'm very pleased to be with you on this interview.
Excellent, excellent. We're in Margaux at the moment, at your chateau, which is Chateau Anglais, which is in the it is in the heart of Margaux, really, isn't it?
It's not really on the heart. It's on the southwest side of Margaux Appellation, Chateau Anglais, which covers 80 hectares with 34 hectares of vines.
I was coming in, and it's not all vines. You'd think, oh, maybe you'd plant everything up, but there's a big area full of, what do they call them, cheval, is that right? Horses.
Yeah, there are a few horses around here. I mean, the family is, I have four brothers and a sister, and we're all of my brothers, we're all in the wine business except for my sister. She's in horses. So that's why we need to have keep a bit of the land for her to put her horses on.
Fair enough. The family's been in Bordeaux for a while, but originally English, is that right?
Well, originally, the Seschel are originally from Germany.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not really an English name, is it, Seschel?
No, Seschel, yeah. From Germany. And office in Bordeaux as a merchant company has been going since 1883. So going back to my grandfather, who was English and mainly living in England and running the office in Bordeaux as a merchant company. So going back and forth from England to Bordeaux, and in so the first activity of the family was really as a merchant company. Then in 1938, my grandfather got involved in Chateau Palmer as a share owner.
Yeah.
And that was really the first step into the production side of running the vines. And so since then, the family is a share owner at Chateau Palmer.
Lovely. And when did you buy Chateau Anglais?
So then that was really when my father took over the business. He wanted to live around Bordeaux. And so coming to Parma, which is very close to Anglais, heard about Anglais, which was for sale. So that was in 1961. That was 1961, and came up here and bought the place, which Anglais at that time was in the production of Anglais was very low at that time because of difficulties at the time and mainly the frost of 1956, which destroyed a lot of the vines which were in place at Anglais. And so when my father bought Anglais, there were just 7 hectares of vines in place, and most of those needed to be pulled out because they were in a bad state. So really everything had to be restarted since 1961.
Okay. And Margaux as a region, I always think of it on the river, Gironde.
Gironde, yeah. Yes.
But driving around, you can't see the river from here. You know, I always think of Margaux on the river.
Yeah.
But it's not close by, is it?
Well, it is. It is. The Appellation goes is longing the river, but of course everybody is not has right not the vines close to the river. No, if you go driving along the D2, all the river is really at probably 2 kilometers from a bit more than a mile from the D2 is a bit more than a mile from the river there. And so a lot of the, Chateau Palmer, Chateau Margaux, and have a lot of the vines on that side, which goes down towards the river.
Here in Anglais, do you get much influence from the river?
Yes. Yes, we do in terms of weather. Being between the river and the ocean, we get that soft, moderating climate,
yep.
And which do influence the of course the ripening and the even if we can have big differences in terms of weather from a year to another. All that is combining, yeah, of that microclimate being between the river and the ocean.
I suppose because the Atlantic is so close, Bordeaux does get a lot of rain. I think I read somewhere that on average it's about 600 mils, 650 mils of rain a year.
It's more around between around 800 millimetres a year. That is pretty constant, actually. The big differences can be when do we get those, dispatching those 800 millimetres. Some years we get it at the wrong moment. And some years but the amount of rain a year is pretty constant, actually, from a year to another.
But it comes through all year round. Like some vineyards, if you get into the central vineyard, into continental climate, you often find that the rain tends to come over winter, whereas you do get fair bit of rain in summer.
Yeah, absolutely. And the rain coming in summer is pretty much brought by the storms, which we have, which is one of the influence of the ocean and the river.
Mm. Yeah. The other thing about the area in Bordeaux, just in terms of climate, is you've still got a wee bit of the Gulf Stream coming along. The Gulf Stream runs down the side of France, doesn't it, and gets to about Bordeaux before it starts heading back across the Atlantic. In England, the Gulf Stream's really important, otherwise England be frozen like Canada is sometimes. But is it something you guys think about or you're aware of, the Gulf Stream here?
It certainly have an influence. I think it's pretty much out of our viticultural
hands. The thing about Margaux, and when we looked around the vineyard, I noticed a wee bit, is that a lot of people talk about gravel.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that some of your vineyard area, fair enough, you put it aside for horses, but in reality, you're not allowed to plant up there because it doesn't have that gravel.
Yeah, absolutely. Margaux Appellation is, you're right, all about gravels and different gravels and different layers of gravels, which are very important, sensitive in the way that really all that different layers of different gravels, more or less light gravels, meaning that they're more or less dry. Some gravels going more west of the Appellation, I call them lighter gravels than the gravels which are closer to the river, which have a certain percent of clay in the subsoil, which is all that gives to the plant, to the vine, different reactions through the season and through the ripening. And depending on the weather, depending on the amount of water we're having during that year, I mean, it affects, of course, the speed or of the ripening.
Yeah. Clay tends to be a bit, if it gets wet, it's a bit cooler, whereas gravel can heat up and make things warmer.
Yes, but it's all so it can be a good thing or a more difficult result. It's all depending on the weather of the year. Some years when the weather's a bit too hot and dry, then those light gravels, which dry up very quickly, deeply in the soil, can be more difficult for the vine that year.
And for example, 2003, which was a very hot, dry year.
Exactly. 2003 is an example where it was very hot. Luckily, not the driest year, but very hot with a lot of evaporation of the soil of the plant, of the leaves. And so having a bit of clay in the subsoil helped the vine going through the season, yeah.
If you had a bit of gravel with maybe lighter, silty soils, that you might have got a lot more dehydration, vine stress?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And it's very sensitive. I mean, we on Angoulême play a lot. We try and get the balance of the vine as right as possible each year. And it's all according to the weather. It's all according to the temperatures and the amount of rain we have. And so in a wet year, we will not be cultivating the vines the same way as a hot year, a hot and dry year. And it's all depending on the vegetation we're leaving on the soil.
On the soil itself?
On the soil, between the vines. And we see that having a bit of, even if the vines have, the roots of the vine goes really deep at 3, 4, 5 meters down and probably deeper than that, the roots, which are in the top meter, have a lot of effect on the crop of the year. The roots, which are going a lot deeper, are more helping the vine to survive in difficult conditions.
In dry years.
In really dry. That makes the vine will not just die. It'll survive. But will probably not carry the crop if it's too dry. And so having that vegetation at the top, we quickly see that as soon as the spring and the weather becomes a bit dry, we quickly have to destroy that vegetation, because otherwise it competes with the vine really quickly, and the vine's in stress too much, and the ripening is more difficult.
I noticed when we were looking around the vineyard, we had a look at your trellising that you've laid out. What did you say the trellising system was?
Trellising is it's a local name called the Tai Meduken, which is based on a guillot pruning with lighter, less buds.
Pruning is...
Yeah, we have a guillot pruning. It'll be two canes on the side of the vine,
yep,
going on both sides, with two small buds left underneath that cane to help the pruning for the pruning the next year.
Okay, so but the buds that, give you the canes for the following year.
But that makes the number of buds on the vine, which is too much for Margaux Appellation. So, and it's not only Margaux; all the main Appellation of the Médoc do the same way, more or less. So we leave only the two canes on the side, which each of the cane will carry three to four buds.
Okay, so that's what, 3 to 4 buds. So you're getting about six bunches per.
No, we need more than six. We need around eight good bunches on the vine, because each bud should give two bunches. But then there's always something happening through the year on one of the buds or one of the grapes. So we make sure all that is put on to get at the end is to get eight bunches on the vine.
I noticed that your fruiting zone is quite low to the ground as well. Given that you've got the river and the Atlantic nearby, does that mean that you're not too worried about frost? Although you did say the vineyard's been knocked about occasionally from frost. Is frost a real problem, or what's your main disease pressure? Is it or problem in the vineyard?
Well, starting with the frost, because that comes, our fear of frost comes in spring. We always say, no, frost is not really a problem, but when it comes up, it can be a big problem. I mean, the last time it really hit Bordeaux area was, and that was a large area, was 1991, when that the it cuts off the crop of down to 20 or 25% of the crop. So it can be a big problem if it does happen, but luckily it's not too often.
Yeah, I haven't seen any frost protection like turbines or spraying to manage frost.
No, we don't.
So it's not as common that you need to put in expensive equipment.
Well, Chateau Margaux has their white grapes protected with spraying. Because it's in an area which can the frost more common. But no, otherwise, and it's also because the Médoc area is, in fact, it's not flat, it's not hilly either, but it's all full of little, we call a gravel coupe, which goes up at between 15 and 25 meters high. And so that makes it that usually the vines are slightly protected naturally by the frost and being close to the river.
Yeah, because the frost flows down the hills.
Down, exactly, yeah.
What about disease pressure like powdery mildew or downy mildew? Because you with the water that you're getting, the rain, because you are getting decent rain, is that a problem?
Well, yes, it can be a problem, and we do have to be careful about of oidium and mildew. Yes, it can be... a problem, and it's all, yeah, you're right. It's all depending on the rain, but it's a pressure, constant pressure since start of the growing of the vine until the most sensitive season will be during the period around flowering season, where mildew can go straight on the grape, on the flowers, and just destroy the crop very quickly if we don't be careful. And then the pressure goes down when we go to viraison, when the grapes are turning color, where the pressure goes down a lot, and we can be a lot lighter on the spraying at that time.
Yeah, they used to use a thing called Bordeaux solution, wasn't it? Which was what, copper?
Copper, yeah, bouillie bordelaise. Bouillie bordelaise, which is a mixture of copper and chalk,
yeah.
Which is still used, of course. Copper was only used for mildew in the old days, but and was used a lot at massive quantities. The problem with copper is that once it's sprayed on the leaves, when the leaves fall on the ground, then the copper
leaches into the soil.
It stays there, and it doesn't get
broken
just,
down. Yeah,
it gets in the soil, and year after year, the soil can be disturbed, and phytotoxicity on the soil can affect the soil.
Okay, so you use other solutions now?
We have other solutions, but then we still use copper at very light concentration.
Okay, then. I think we're going to wrap it up there, Ben. Thank you very much for your time.
You're very welcome. Thank you very
Cheers.